Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Zayin, and we're holding at the bottom of Kufav Omud Beis. So we're up to the Tana Rabbanan, and we had a case in the Mishnah. This is a braita that's referring to some of the dinim that we had in our Mishnah. Harei alai lemizbeach. Somebody says, I want to bring something to the Mizbeach. Well, we assume that what he means is, he wants to bring something that is completely going to be given to this Mizbeach. He doesn't want any of these Kohanim or anything else to be getting a share of it. It's pure Mizbeach as far as he's concerned. And it's Mizbeach or bust. So what does he mean when he says the Mizbeach? He must mean Levona. Because the only thing, She'en lecha davar, she'karev lekabi Mizbeach entirely, is Levona. The Gemara is going to go through why this is true, but this is like the only thing that you could possibly say is pure Mizbeach. Now, if he said, I'm going to bring to the Mizbeach, I said what I was going to bring, but I can't remember what it was. This guy's really looking for trouble. So then he's got to bring everything that would be considered to be Lamizbeach. So it doesn't have to be as entirely Lamizbeach as Levona, because if it were, why did he have to define it? But there are a lot of things that you could say go to the Mizbeach, and we'll see what those are. Okay, so now we say you bring Levona. I don't understand why you're saying Levona is the only thing that's brought on the Mizbeach. I mean, what about Karban Ayla? Karban Ayla is brought on the Mizbeach, isn't it? I thought it was brought completely Kaleel. Yeah, but you forget, the skin of the Ola is not given to the Mizbeach, it's given to those old Kohanim again. I don't want to give nothing to those Kohanim, I want to give something that's entirely Mizbeach. Okay, I mean, what about an Ola Sa'of? It doesn't have any skin. There, the Kohanim don't get anything. True, but the Mizbeach doesn't get everything either. Because, remember, even on the Ola Sa'of, we have to take out the Mur'a V'notza. So that's the, remember, it's a machlokes, whether that means the crop with its feathers, whether it means the crop together with the parts of the digestive system that come up with it, and so on. But whatever, it means that that part which is put onto the Mokam HaDeshen, which is next to the Kevesh, on its way up to the Mizbeach, and it's there, the nes happens, and it dissolves into the ground every day. Let me just close the shade here. So that's not 100% pure Mizbeach. So that's why that would not be what he meant when he said pure Mizbeach, when he was saying to the Mizbeach and nothing else. So that's got to be the Levona. Well, wait a minute. Nesachim, they're entirely on the Mizbeach. There's nothing, there's no komets, there's nothing given to the Kohanim. It's all on the Mizbeach. Yeah, but is it on the Mizbeach, or does it go through the Mizbeach down to the Shittim? I mean, if it goes down to the Shittim, it's not burned on the Mizbeach. I'm trying to give a gift to the Mizbeach. So that, L'Shittim Azle. Okay, well, what about the Minchas Nesachim? How about specifically the Mincha part of the Nesachim? No comments. You put on the Mizbeach. Nothing to the Kohanim. You're right. That's really true. But once you're using the concept of Mincha, so Minachas in general, Kohanim do get what to eat from it. So he wouldn't have just called it Lamizbeach. He would have defined precisely what he means, because a normal Mincha is basically given to Kohanim. So we've got, besides our Levona, so we've got a lot of possibilities over here. Now, those possibilities, like the Yoyla, or the Yoyla Sa'ayv, or the Nesachim, or the Minchas Nesachim, if the person said, I defined what I meant, well, then he didn't mean probably only Levona, because if it needed definition, he was thinking of something. So then he would have meant maybe any of those things, because they're also called to the Mizbeach, as we just saw. I mean, if the Gemara had a Havamina, that that should be considered to be the equivalent of Lavona. So where the guy defines something, then that would mean that all those things that were in our mind in the Gemara might have been in his mind. Then we went on to things that are entirely not on the Mizbeach, and there are things that we learned out from the extra word that we're going to see. We've got the, remember in the Parsha of Mincha, we have the Korban Mincha. The question is, why are we adding the word Korban? So we said we could do other things also on the Mizbeach. Now, it's not 100% clear what the Mokar is for our additional Korbanos. And we're going to be discussing which Pasuk we mean. But in any event, we said that if a guy gives Zahav, so that would be a, definitely, he's giving a donation to not to the Mizbeach, but he's giving a donation to Hegdesh. So how do we define the dorm that go to Hegdesh? So if he says, I realize Zahav, okay, Zahav, we understand him to mean a dinner Zahav. Why a dinner Zahav? Couldn't Zahav mean gold, meaning a piece of gold, a nasra? I mean, you're telling me he has to bring the minimal coin that a person would have in mind. I mean, he's not talking about coins. All he's talking about is like a piece of gold that people use for certain things. Maybe he's going to use something, Tosfos brings, that he's going to maybe mean the smallest type of thing that might be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe that's what he means. Like maybe he wants to hold up the parochet with a hook that's made out of gold. Whatever the smallest amount would be. Omer of Elezer, you're right. He's talking about, clearly, the Mishnah's got to be talking about, where he didn't just say Zahav. He actually said he wants to give a matbeah of Zahav. And that's the Kiddush of the Mishnah. Well, I mean, there's lots of matbeot. I mean, couldn't he have meant maybe he wants to give one pruta? I mean, does that, whatever. I mean, but it certainly doesn't have to mean that it's going to be the biggest gold coin. And what if you make a pruta of gold? True. I mean, it's tiny, but you could make a pruta of gold, right? No. Umber of Papa, pruta to have a law of the inch. That is not a normal coin. People don't make it, but that's a copper coin, a pruta. Who would make the tiny amount of gold into a coin that would be considered to be the value of a pruta? Doesn't make sense. Okay, let's take the next case. Guy gives silver. Once again, these are things that Bechlal have no shakas to the Mizbeah. So they can't be included in the dinim like wood. If you said, okay, over there, wood is included in carbon mincha. So if he's giving silver, what would that be? So the Mishnah said it has to be a dinner. But here's the same question. I mean, silver could be a piece of silver that's usable in the actual inyanim in the Beis HaMikdash for construction, maybe. And again, Rabbi Elazar says, no, of clearly it's talking about that he said, I want to give a matbeah specifically. Well, once again, couldn't it mean prite? Maybe means a tiny pruta coin. So here we can't say that that's ever done, because when it is done, it's just not very typical. Omer of Sheshes, then the Mishnah is talking about a place where it isn't done. It's Ba'atra de losago priti de kaspat, place where those don't circulate. Losago as a coin, if they don't circulate, then that is not what we consider the guy to mean. And then if he said he's going to bring the choshet, he has to bring a mo'a of nechoshet. So here, not everybody even agrees to that. Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he has to bring a something that is usable as a kli of nechoshet. So Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, lo yivchot mitzinura ketana shal nechoshet, a little tiny fork-like device, which is made out of copper. What good is that? Why would somebody have in mind that? It's a tiny thing that you stick into the menorah. If, let's say, the menorah went out early. So we said before, there we don't do a complete reconstruction of the menorah. We fix it, we pull out the wick, we fix it up, and we relight it, right? So what do we use to break off the already burnt portion of the wick, or to pull the wick up higher and so on? We need a tiny little pincher device, and that's what it's talking about. Something that you can be mechatet petilot to use for cleaning out the nerot. How about if he said iron? So Tanya, in the Braisa, it says that if he said iron, then acherim ayrim lo yichod mikal yaorev. He's got to have, a kal yaorev means literally a something that finishes off the crows. So it's a scarecrow of some kind. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have a scarecrow. They used sharp pieces of iron that were on the roof where crows would be likely to land. Wouldn't mind having some of that around here. And and that way it would discourage the crows because they wouldn't have anywhere to put their feet except at a sharp edge. So that's what is a Kalya Orev. How much is that? How much iron is that? So they would use these little tiles that they would put on the roof for the Beis HaMikdash. And that was one amma by one amma, each one of them. And that way they would cover the entire area with these sharp pieces of iron that would prevent the crows from landing. Igari, others say it in the opposite direction. That the Gemara said, how much should he, if he gives iron, how much should he give? It has to be an amma bal amma tile. Well, what good is that? That is, Amar Yosef, what we mean is the tiles for the Kalya Orev. This brings us to Mr. Wright.
Rabbi, I just want to check the gear so here.
Maybe it's Mr. Wrong. I don't know. That fits more of his psychology. Mr. Wrong?
I'm a little bit behind, Rabbi. I'm sorry. I'm not quite here, but I'll do what I have to do.
I mean, what you have to do, what you're privileged to do, you mean? What's going on around That's pretty good for what you have to do. Okay, so now what if a guy says, remember we had a machlokas before between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. So everybody agreed that you could certainly give wine. The question is, can you give oil? So Rabbi Tarfon said, look, if you can give wine, because wine is an ingredient of the Minchas Nesachim, so you should be able to give oil, which is also an ingredient in the Minchas Nesachim. To which Rabbi Akiva said, when you give wine, the wine is put on separately and it isn't mixed with the solat. But if you're bringing oil, where do we ever see that there's just a mincha of oil? There's no such thing. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva disagreed. So now we're assuming here in this Mishnah that we're going to listen to Rabbi Tarfon's argument. You could give oil. And therefore, the Mishnah is going to talk about the minimal shear of both yayin and oil. But remember that according to Rabbi Akiva, the part about oil doesn't happen. Okay, so guys, is arei ala yayin. So then, as we learned before, we know there's the minimum is kacha. The kacha that is mentioned in the Parshas Tesachim is the three that we have for the three lugin that we have for the keves. We've got four for the ayo, and we've got six for a pot, right? So those are all of our options. So your minimal cannot be less than three lugin. And the same thing is true about shemen, because remember, the amount of yayin that you give is exactly the same when it says shemen. In the Torah, it mentions the same exact shear for shemen as it is for the yayin. So if it's shloisha lugin, then when we're talking about the shemen, you would think that we mean the shloisha lugin. But we don't. What we actually mean when it comes to shemen is for some reason one lug. Rebbe says, no, what do you mean? Isn't it the same as the yayin? The yayin is shloisha lug. I mean, read the pasuk. Where the heck do you come off with saying one lug if it says you've got exactly the revi'is ayin, the shlishi ayin, the chatzi ayin? It's exactly the same words that we use for the amount of shemen. So how do you come up with this idea of a lug? If the guy said, well, I can't remember, darn it, Birashti, I said a certain amount, but I can't remember what I said. So then he should bring the amount that is brought on the biggest oil day or the biggest wine day. Now, we already learned about what that day was. Remember about Sukkot that came out on the Shabbos. We added up all of the various Nesachim. Okay, so that would be the maximum that would be brought at one time. So that must be the maximum that the guy would be thinking about. Tanarabban. If it says in the pasuk, Kol ha'ezrach yaseh kacha et eileh. That's our pasuk that we started off with when we were learning the parsha of the Nesachim. So we learned out from that word, ezrach, because what do we need ezrach? Well, of course, kol ezrach. What do we mean? In every mitzvah, we have to say that everybody's chayiv in this mitzvah. What is that kol ezrach yaseh kacha? So what it means is that any common citizen, so to speak, even though he's not being mechuyev to do this because he's bringing a carbon oil or a carbon shlamim, and he just wants to, he can. Kacha, he could do the same thing, meaning that he's got his ability to bring three, or to bring four, or to bring six. But as you said, he can't bring five, but he can bring combinations that would bring him six and up. There's always a combination. Okay. But from that extra word, ezrach, we learned that we bring yayin. Now, remember, that was not the only pasuk that taught us that you can bring other things besides what the Torah gave us to bring. Because we also had, as I mentioned earlier, we also had our korban mincha. And we said, why did the Torah say korban mincha? I could have just said mincha. That taught us that other things, like pieces of wood, things that you're going to be able to bring on the mizbeach, can also be brought as a korban. And then we have yet the other issue, which of course we just mentioned in the Mishnah, things that I'm giving to Hekdesh, but certainly are not meant for the mizbeach. So that we talked about our zav, our barzel, our kesef, and so on. So the first pasuk that we bring here is that since it says kol ezrach yaseh kacha et eileh, that tells me that you bring yayin if you want, so it can bring a nedava. V'chama shlosh alugin. Since that's what's mentioned here in the kol ezrach yaseh kacha, so it would mean three lugin, or like we analyzed earlier, or four lugin, or six lugin. It's whatever was mentioned in that pasuk. Obviously, it doesn't mean only three lugin. You might think, well, what if I want to bring less? No, Talmud Lomar Kacha, it has to be what you find in this pasuk of the Nesachim. When it comes to Shemen, then for some reason, the Tanakhama says the amount is not the Shlosh Lugin, which is the Revi'a Sahin, which is what's mentioned in the Parsha of Kacha. It's actually one look. And Rebbe says, no, it's what it says in the Parsha. So what's the point here? What are we fighting over? So the Rabbanan in the yeshiva wanted to say, you know what it must be? And they told Rav Papa, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, we believe that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Tanakhama is the classic machlokas of don mina umina or don mina v'ukim batras. You remember that wonderful klah. If we learn out something from, we learn out Y from X. Do we learn everything out from X? Which is don mina, learn from X, umina, and use X as a continued base for everything that you're learning. Or do we say, learn out the specific din from X, but as far as the details are concerned, it has to fit into the standard Y. And that's called don mina, but then put it back into its place. Uki ba'atra, put it back into its place. Well, that's the issue, obviously, no? I mean, the Rabbanan say, look, don mina, they say, let's learn out this halacha from a korban mincha. Because, I mean, didn't we learn from the korban mincha with the word, extra word, korban? So korban mincha meant you can bring other things to the mizbeach. In this case, the guy wants to bring oil to the mizbeach. So if we're learning it out from mincha, then just like a mincha you can give as an adava, shemen can be given as an adava, and you learn it directly from where it is that the halacha was, which is one lug of shemen in a mincha, and you can go ahead and you can bring one lug of shemen as its own mincha. So av shemen belug, was Rebbe says, no, but well, hold on a minute over here. Shemen is actually a part of the minchas nesachim. So I would say, don mina v'uki batra. So just like it's true, it's a korban mincha. So just like a mincha, you can be menadev, you can be menadev shemen. But how much? Uki batra. If you're talking about a liquid that you want to bring on the mizbeach, well, last I heard, that's called a nesach. It's something that you're pouring. And therefore, let's learn it out of the parsha of nesachim. Just like nesachim is shloshet lugin, and that would be the kacha. So to the shemen would be shlosh lugin, says Rav Papa. You guys are not thinking straight. That's not the point. Imi mincha gomar la Rebbe. Believe me, that if Rebbe would have agreed to that basic idea that we're learning it out from the extra word korban, korban mincha, he would have agreed that, of course, we're going to learn it out from mincha. It's just because the liquid we're going to now all of a sudden look to learn it from the Nesachim. The point over here is that Rebbe does not learn it out from the Mincha. He learns it out from the other Pesuk. So as we pointed out originally, we have two separate Pesukim that add to our capabilities. One is the Korban that's added to the Pesuk, Korban Mincha Lashem. And the other is Kol HaEzrach Yaseh Kacha, which tells us that you can duplicate as a common citizen all on your own without the Torah being b'chayav of you. You can duplicate the chiyuvim that you're bringing here together with the carbon, which would mean you can duplicate the chiyuv of the shemen. This is the point. So Rebbe is actually learning it out directly from the Parsha of Nesachim. He's not learning it out from it. Why would he learn out from a mincha if it really fits the bill precisely, as Rabbi Tarfon pointed out in the Mishnah? The oil fits the bill just right. If you can learn from that pasuk that you can bring wine separately, so then you can learn from that pasuk that you can also bring oil separately. And since in that pasuk it says beferish kacha, so therefore it has to be that same shear, obviously. Well, we've got the Bubba boys here, and today is Bubba's yard site. So you got to concentrate extra super duper special, because let me tell you, if this were a chess game, Bubba wouldn't let you off for a minute, you see? And of course, Zoom knows who the Bubba boys are and put them instantly together, dragging them from one side of the screen to the other. Yeah, okay, sure. It doesn't know a darn thing, right? Anyway, Omar Levuna. How can you say this? How can you possibly say that Rebbe is learning out from Ezrach? V'atanya, take a look at this braita. It's analyzing the word korban mincha, right? So korban, that teaches us that you can bring shemen. How much shemen? Kama, shloshes lugin. Now, tell me who we're talking about over here. Who's the one who said Shlosh HaSlugin? You know as well as I do, it's Rebbe. And that means that Rebbe, who said Shlosh HaSlugin, he is learning it from Korban Mincha, not from Ezrach. So don't give me this stuff that he's definitely learning out of Ezrach, and that's why he said Shlosh HaSlugin, because he's learning it out of the Nesachim. Yeah, okay, says Rav Klapa. Look, you know, what can I do? I can't argue with Abraita. Definitely made more sense the way I learned it, but I know my place. Itanya, Tanya. If that's what it says in the Braita, then that's what it says in the Braita. Now, we know that Ori is always on the side of Rebbe, right? And therefore, she's pasking 100% like Rebbe. Yes, Rebbe, not the Tanakama.
Ori.
Omar Lev, Itanya Tanya. So we've got no choice, and that's basically the way we're going to have to go. I'll have to accept that he doesn't learn it out from there. Okay, the next case we had in the Mishnah is that Perashti ve'ini yodea ma pirashti. Yavi ki yoma merubah. So if he says, I can't remember what I said, he should bring what the maximum is. And what is that maximum? Well, we already know that. That's Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos. Woo! So then we've got 13 parim. Remember, 13 parim, that's each one of them takes already the maximum of Shisha Lugin. Shush! That's, we got 39 all right off in the beginning, and then we've got all 14 kvasim, which adds another 14, and then we've got the Shnei Elim, which are two apiece, which adds another 4, and then we've got the Tmidim, which add 2 Kvasim again, and then we've got the Musafim of Shabbos, which add another 2 times the 1, and added all together gives us a grand total of 140 pure looking of Shemen, or of Yayin, whatever it was that he said he was going to bring. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us it doesn't include any suffix about talisker. It's only yayin and shemen. We need a special ribui to be marba anything else. Since Richie hasn't been able to bring us that extra ribui, we'll let him introduce the next Mishnah.
Zuk the Helek Mishnah.
Re alai ola. We've already discussed this earlier, that there's minimums for what we assume you don't mean to bring more than the minimum. So if you say, I'm going to bring an ola, so the simplest, the least expensive, is actually a kebes. And since the Torah says you can bring any of those kind of animals as long as there's a farim, so bring a kebes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, why does it have to be a mammal? Why can't it be a bird? I mean, it says beferish in the Torah, you can bring an oilasa of as a nedavim. So whichever bird you want, a tor, a ben yonah, they're both basically very inexpensive. But how about if he said, I definitely had said min habakar, but I don't remember, did I say what type of bakar? Was I talking about an older bakar, which is a shor, or was I talking about an ego? I remember that I said one of them, but I can't remember actually which one it is. So in that case, if it's from the bakar, he's going to have to bring both a par and an ego. That's the only two possibilities. Now, suppose he said, I said I'm going to bring a mammal. So I said, min ha-behemah. I can't remember which one, but I did actually pirashed. So then he's got to bring all of the male possibilities, since he said it was an eyelet, can't be a female, but he's got to bring every male possibility. So that would include par and ego. So that's a bull, a calf. He would also have to bring an ayil, because that is a male. A sa'ir, because you've got the same thing, which is in the terms of the goats. And then maybe it was a younger goat, or maybe it was a younger sheep. So maybe it was a gedi, a kid, or maybe it was a talet, which is a keves, a sheep. All male. Okay? How about if he says that I pirashti ve'ena yodea ma pirashti? How about if he also said, I don't remember whether it was a mammal or not. I just said for sure I'm going to bring one of the types of eilas that were mentioned, but I can't remember what it was. It might not even have been a mammal. So then you're going to have to add to all of the above a tor and a ben yonah, because it could have been either one of those also. So you've got quite a lot of korbanos that you're going to have to bring before you're going to be yotze your neder. Now, suppose he said, harei alai todah, or harei alai shlamim. Now, over there, he's got a much broader palette of animals that he can bring in terms of the mammals. So if he said, stop, then he brings the simplest one, and that would be a keves. Even though it says a keves, it doesn't mean only a male, because obviously it could be a female. So it could be a kivsa as well. So keves over here, obviously, since male, female is irrelevant when it comes to the shlomim or a taita, he could bring either. What if he says, I definitely said min habakar, but I can't remember what I said, and I did say one type of bakar. Well, then he's got to bring, besides what we said was for the ola, that he brings a par and an ego, here he also has to bring the female versions. So he has to bring a par and a cow, a para, and an ego and an egola. And if he says that I said I'm going to bring a toda or a shlomim from behema, and I don't even remember what behema was, but I definitely said it's going to be a mammal. So there he's going to have to bring both the male and female versions of every one of the possible animals that he could have brought. So there he has to bring a par and a para and an egel and an egla. And then he's got to bring, besides the ayil, he has to bring a rechila. He's got to bring a yu also, and a sa'ir and a sa'ira, and a gedi and a gediya, and a taleh and a talia. So he's got a lot of karbonas to bring. Now, suppose he said, instead of the type of korban, he said, I am mekabo on myself to bring a shor as a korban. Now, What is the meaning of a minimal value of a char that a person would actually have in mind for a carbon? Well, together with the nesachim, it should be worth 100 dinar. So basically, this, at least according to some Rishonim, including Rashi, this is not an analysis of his Ratzain or of Neder norms. It's actually Allah Lameshavi Sinai. Okay. Others learn that it's just, again, this is like a norm of what people would be thinking. We don't find that this is a halacha. So if it's an egel that he said, so then he doesn't have to pay 100, obviously, 100 dinar. So then it would be sufficient to bring a egel that was worth, together with his nesachim, 5 sloim. 5 sloim would be 1/5, 20 dinars instead of 100 dinar. How about if he said, I'm going to bring an ayo? Oh, well, if he said he's going to bring an ayo, then he would have to bring, again, together with its nesachim, an ayo that's worth 2 sloim. And if he says a kefas, then the whole thing together with the nesachim only would have to be worth a sela. Now, suppose he said, I'm going to bring a shor worth a mana. How about if he defined it? So then the shor part has to be a mana, and he does not mean to include the nesachim together with the valuation that he gave to his shor. So there he's going to have to bring a mana besides the value of the nesachim. If he said, I'm going to bring an egel worth 5 sloim, he would have to bring the egel 5 sloim for the animal itself. Chutz min hasachav. If he says an ayo b'shtayim, same idea. It would have to be worth 2 as the animal besides the nesachim. And if he says a keves b'sela, he would have to pay a full sela for the animal besides the nesachim. Suppose he said, I'm going to bring a shor worth 100. And he brings 2 that together are worth 100. No. Lo yatsa. He said, I'm going to bring a shor. Now, that's a chosh of a shor. It's not the amount of the karbonas. And therefore, he never brought that chosh of a shor. And because of that, he would not be yotze. So it would have to be a shor that is worth, not shvarim that are worth. And what about if he brings 2 shvarim, each one of which was worth 99, wasn't worth a full 100. So can you be worth one big shor if you bring 299 shor? No. Afilu zebe mana chaser dinner v'zebe mana chaser dinner. What about if he said, I'm going to bring a black shor, and he brought a white shor, a white shor, and he brought a black shor. I'm going to bring a large one, and he brings a small one. No, he's not yotze. Now, here we finally get to the machlokes that we mentioned earlier when we were talking about menachas, and we wondered why you need to bring again the same machlokes between Rebbe and the Tanna Kamma about big and small. Actually, here's where the machlokes is. The guy said, I'm going to bring a small shor. And he brings a big shor. So the Tanna Kamma says, well, I mean, that's better, right? So you brought a super duper big small shor. Okay. What's wrong with that? That should include the small. And here is where Rebbe said, if you said small, you mean small. And that is lo yatsa, even in that case. And we explained earlier why we have the same machlokas by Mincha as to whether you're able to, the machlokas about whether you can bring shishim in one container or you need to bring precisely the small amount that you mentioned. And we explained why there's a difference in that. Mincha anyway, a mincha only gives the same amount to the mizbeach no matter what. And therefore it shouldn't make a difference, maybe, I would think. So we need to have both of these cases. Okay, let's take a look here at the machlokas that we found in our Mishnah. So we've got a machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If you didn't say, you said just oila, whether you can actually bring an oila sa'of. So we thought, whoa, that's a major machlokas, whether the din of oila would include ben astam oila sa'of. No. It's not really a machlokas. Marki atre, umarki atre. Each one was going according to what the meaning would be in their location. Now, the pashtus of what this means is, as the Rambam explains it over here on the Mishnah, that it's talking about that ka'atre means the way that it's usually used in that place. So therefore, what it means is that where the Tanakama was in a place where people would minastam talk about korbanos in terms of mammals. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was standard that people, when they would give an oila, they would give an oila sa'of also. So, and that's usually the pshat in Mar ki atre. Now Rashi says that the point over here is that where the Tanakama was, then the bird was even less expensive. A lamb, I mean, was even less expensive than a bird. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was in a place where it was standard that the lamb was more expensive than the bird. Okay. Being a Rambam boy myself, my dad definitely hear the standard Rambam. Okay, so Tan Rabbana, take a look at the Braita that discusses the issues in the Mishnah here. Hare alai ola b'sela of Zbeya. I want to bring one sela ola. So in that case, bring a one sela ola, he brings a keves, because in the chadavish kar b'sela l'gabi b'sbeach, ela keves. The norm that we explained before, when you bring a keves, is that it's one sela. That must be what he's referring to. Pirashti v'niyodeyama pirashti. So whatever he could bring, that was worth a sela, he would have to bring. It's true that the standard is, but there's other things that you can buy for a sela. I don't know, maybe they can. There's a levona worth of sela. That's a komitz of levona. So bring that also, you know. Or maybe a mincha that's purchasable for a sela. So anything that could have been meant, he would have to bring again. Birashti mina bakar comes along the Mishnah and said, I said what kind of bakar, but I can't remember. So then he's got to bring a big bakar, which would be a par, and a small bakar, which would be an ego. But couldn't he just bring a large bakar and let that be included? Because we said, if he said he's going to bring something small and he brought something big, that he's going to be yotzei. So why couldn't he do that? Well, this must be going according to Rebbe. Amani Rebbe. And we said at the end of the Mishnah, Rebbe said, if you said you're going to bring katan and you were maybe gadol, you're not going to be yotzei. So that must be the pshat. How could that be the pshat? You're telling me, we're starting off with Rebbe. So then look at the end of the Mishnah, and it says over there the opposite. Shor b'mona ve'vishnayim b'mona lo yatsa. Afilu zeh b'mona chasur dinner v'zeh b'mona chasur dinner. Shachor ve'vi lavan, lavan ve'vi shachor. Now here's the important point. Gadol ve'vi katan lo yatsa, but katan ve'vi gadol ken yatsa. And now all of a sudden we introduce Rebbe, but Rebbe Omer, no, lo yatsa. And that's, I don't understand. If we need to introduce Rebbe's particular shita only at the end of the Mishnah, how could you say that the opening of the Mishnah is basically telling us Rebbe's din? And then we go back to tell me, no, actually you are Yatza, which is anti-Rebbe. And then we reintroduce Rebbe, and now we say again, but Rebbe says you are Yatza. What a crazy way to make a Mishnah. How could that possibly be? You're telling me the Reisha, which we opened, that was the case, that you have to bring both the egel and a par, because you couldn't bring a par to include it as an egel, because according to Rebbe, that wouldn't be any good. That's what you said. So then why is the next case say it would be good? And then why do we introduce Rebbe at the end and say again, Rebbe says it isn't good? I don't get this Mishnah. You're trying to tell me we start with Rebbe, go to the middle, interrupt to the Chachamim, and then we go back to Rebbe in the Sefer? Yes, it's exactly what I say. You don't understand what's going on over here. The Reisha and the Seifa is Rebbe, and the middle part is the Rabbanan. What the Mishnah is trying to do is explain itself, okay? So it's saying, here's the Shita that I spoke about initially. And I'm taking for granted that that's Rebbe. Now I'm introducing a new Shita, and I'm saying, but the Rabbanan say you would be Yotzei. So you think I'm crazy, right? No, it's a Machlokes. So now the last piece of the Mishnah is coming to say, by the way, the two dinim that we just stated, the Reisha and this Mitziasa case, are actually Dover. Zeh is a machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So it actually works out just fine.